Broadcasting from the campus of Lynn Benton Community College, we are the Mid-Valley STEM CTE Hub. I'm your host, Casey, and this is Closing the Gap.
Right. Listeners, welcome back to Closing the Gap. Today we have Christy Lukowski from Henley High School. Christy is an educator teaching engineering, robotics, and science. Correct?
Correct. Thanks for having me today.
Yeah, totally. It's a pleasure having you on. So in our pre-interview, you were telling me a little bit about some of the CTE classes that your students have, or the CTE opportunities, and how that's been really life-changing. And I was wondering if you wouldn't mind kind of recapping that for us.
Yeah. So Henley High School has what I feel like is one of the greatest CTE programs around. We offer coursework in engineering, ag science, ag mechanics. We have medical science, our health occupations. We have business and marketing, as well as our construction apprenticeship program and digital media. So you can imagine that's a lot of different choices for students. And we're a school of only about 700. So we provide just such a unique opportunity for students to pick and choose and figure out a career pathway early on so they can try things, see if they are liking it. If they don't, jump in and try something else.
So CTE seems like a really big component to how the high school as a whole works, but that doesn't necessarily seem to be the standard for lots of high schools in Oregon. Can you kind of speak to why the high school is taking such a different approach?
I think that our school district has recognized how important it is to give students these experiences early on so they can help form their decisions. So for example, some students that have graduated out of the engineering program last school year were able to participate in an internship last summer with a small startup company in Klamath Falls. And this startup's purpose is to build tiny homes out of shipping containers to help with bring affordable housing to Klamath Falls. And these students were able to experience not just dealing with the tiny homes. They, because of it being a startup, they had so many different experiences, including, designing layout for the tiny home or working in Fusion 360 to create, maybe it was their own project, something they were really interested in, they could work on that. They even got into changing the fluids on major machinery. One of the girls ended up being able to, I think it was changing her oil in her own car, something she hadn't done before, but then she was able to figure that out through the experience as well.
That's awesome.
They were also able to do, in our courses at the high school, they get introduced to 3D printing, designing in Autodesk Inventor and AutoCAD. And so they were able to expand on that skill set and work with the company to learn, I think, 4 or 5 different 3D printer styles, more slicing software. And they were actually working with products that were being designed and then sold on Amazon to help fund the tiny home project.
That's really great. And you were saying that the students that were working on the tiny home project and the internship also got a really awesome surprise at the end of the internship this summer.
Yes. At the end of the internship, they were presented with formal job offers for when they finish college. So it included things like maintaining a specific GPA and coming back and interning another summer, getting the feel of the company, obviously. And they also would have, it had a salary and stake in the company. So it was just remarkable to see, a student who hasn't even started college yet, and they're able to say, hey, I just need to get, I can go and do my thing at college. And I already know I'm employable. this person wants me just based on what I've shown them in these past couple of months over the summer. And so I think it can be really helpful to inspire and keep kids motivated throughout college, because we all know college is very challenging academically, socially, financially. And so having that carrot and already knowing, hey, I'm employable and I can get through this. I've got this really hard physics class, but I'm going to make it through because I know that it's going to be worth it at the end. And so for those kids, it was just life-changing for them to experience that and learn so much before even starting their freshman year of college.
For sure. I feel like there's a narrative that people will go through these really hard programs in college and they graduate after their 4 or 5 years, and then they have a really tough time finding a job, or even a job that just like pays well, you know, for the degree that they just invested all that time and money into. And now we're seeing high school students that are not only getting jobs, but they're getting great benefits like stock in the companies that they're trying to work for. And it makes me think, like, how can we be changing how we're structuring our like our high schools and our college experiences to have more results like that?
Yeah, I know that in our district, we are moving towards, like, our high school has a CTE coordinator, and that has been a game changer because, as you know, teachers are very tasked throughout their day, and it's really hard to fit in all of these extra things, you know, and we're trying to do it. And so for our school, when we brought in our CTE coordinator, he was able to do all those little extra things, make those community partners. In fact, it was him who made the connection with the owner of that startup. And we were able to take a group of students on a field trip to that company and start those conversations. So having those people in place where their job is to support the CTE teachers and get the information out to the community. So one of the great things that we do are called reverse industry tours. And so, you know, any given day, you know, we have tours coming through all the time, and it may be two people, it may be 15, but we've brought so many people in from our community to see what we're doing in the high schools, and they're blown away. They had no idea that we're, you know, speak to engineering and robotics. They had no idea what we were doing in our classroom. And they walk in and we've got 10 3D printers. We have students designing in Autodesk Inventor. They're collaborating. They're working on, you know, whether it is designing something for a drone to transport materials from one place to the other. But they're like, this is happening in our high schools. And they're so, you know, surprised and excited. And it's really amazing for me to see how impressed they are, because I'm in there with the students in, you know, every day, and they impress me. But when I have someone from the community, whether it's a business owner or a commissioner that comes through, and they get wowed by my students, it just is, it's so rewarding and it's so refreshing. And I think that it helps the students also realize, wow, what I'm doing here is above and beyond the norm. And I'm going to leave high school with such a great skill set because of all of these experiences.
Yeah, I feel like that would kind of counteract that feeling sometimes that you get as a teenager of being like, why am I here? Because you're learning,
yes,
like,
hey, gives them some purpose.
For sure. Learning on like hands-on skills. And I was hearing someone talk recently about how hands-on learning and like learning for play can like really level the playing field and make it a more equitable learning experience for more people in the classroom rather than just sitting at your desk and reading a book and taking a test all the time. Could you speak to some of the employability skills, some of the hard skills, some of the soft skills that students will learn in CTE type settings?
Yeah. So one of the, we really do focus on those soft skills because those seem to be sometimes missed and they are so crucial. So for example, if a student is in engineering or robotics, they will be working in teams primarily. Almost every project they do is a team. Every once in a while, we might do an individual thing just so that we can see what each student is able to create by themselves, but I would say 90 to 95% of the time, they're working with other students. And that's creating those communication skills, collaboration, the ability to work through conflict when they have different ideas. And through those experiences, that helps prepare them for the workplace. So, you know, I recently talked with some students about, you know, you can create a great robot that can do everything. But in the end, when you finish robotics, what I hope that you take from it is how to communicate with people effectively, kindly. And when you have a conflict, being able to leave that conflict with it resolved and all of the people that were involved feeling good about that resolution. And that those are the skills that we really focus in on. And, you know, if you can do that, you tend to have a successful robot because of the communication and the collaboration and just the teamwork aspect of it. And that's what I love about robotics is it really, it ties all of those things in and then adds the technical aspect of using the engineering design process, the mechanical understanding, getting into gear ratios and understanding torque and how a robot can actually complete a task. And then we also get into that next level of documentation, which is not necessarily a favorite thing by, I think, anyone, but we start to see the value in it and students want to complete those things as well. And I can tell you from my own experience, like when I was in grad school, documentation was everything. I had to have everything down every single day, every detail, because you have to, refer back to it over and over again as you're working through that process. So for these students, they are creating, I kind of call them masterpieces. A student from last school year had, 300 or more page notebook with just great quality. And they also had a build manual that was 75 pages long that outlined exactly how to build their robot from step one to finished and was created in Fusion 360. And we have to tell people that a student created it because it looks like it was made by a company. And these are the kinds of things that students are getting on the technical side. But again, it all circles back to those soft skills and, showing up on time, completing your work, being a good team member. And so why I really love the robotics aspect is because it ties all of those things into one project.
For sure. Wow. That's so impressive. And it seems like there's maybe even like a little aspect of like open pedagogy going on with sharing how to build the robot from scratch. I always think of robotics teams as like the sports kind of equivalent, the sports team equivalent of STEM activities, because there's so much like teamwork involved and like you need to show up because we have all of this extra time, outside of maybe normal school hours in some cases where we're like building and we're tinkering. How do you get students interested in participating in things like robotics, like extracurriculars specifically?
So for robotics, we originally started our robotics program at Henley High School 5 years ago, and that was 3 years after the start of our engineering program. And so for us, it started because in our engineering classes, we actually do a little bit of robotics in each one. And we teach based off of the Project Lead the Way curriculum. And so that was already built in to the curriculum for each class. And so as those students were going through and getting a little taste of the VEX robotics, I had a group of them that were like, we really like this. Like, can we do more with it? And that's when I said, well, yeah, we can compete. Are you guys interested in doing that? And so the first year that we had robotics, we started with two teams of 4 or 5 people on each team. And we just ran it as a club after school and jumped in and, the kids figured it out and we started going to competitions right away. And fast forward, we're now in year 5 of our robotics program. And this year we have 7 teams and over 20 students in the program, and it is a class that they come to every day, and they do work on it a lot after school. And one of the things that's come from all of these students now participating in robotics at the high school level is they say, gosh, I really wish I'd done this sooner. Imagine where I'd be if I had gotten to start this when I was a fifth grader or a third grader or even in middle school. And so we actually had a student 3 years ago who said, you know what, I want to help start a robotics club at Henley Elementary School. And so he jumped in, and he had a friend that assisted him, and they worked together, and they started the elementary robotics club at Henley Elementary. We started with only 16 students because we couldn't accommodate everyone based on the amount of equipment that we had. So it was great, a great start. And we wouldn't have even been able to start if it hadn't been for our partnership with the Southern Oregon ESD. They kind of helped us that first year get some, we used some of the funding from our Chief Science Officer program to be able to get some kits and get started. Now, this school year, we have 30 students, fifth and sixth graders from Henley Elementary that are participating in the after-school robotics club. And we, through funding through Pacific Power and additional funding from the ESD, we were able to get enough kits, so of the VEX kits, to be able to accommodate all of those students. And I, this year, have two sophomores that were running that program, which is really exciting because it had been seniors the year before. And I think that they plan to continue and help these kids for 3 years. So the consistency of having the same, you know, student leader each year will be really exciting. So that's one of the things that we're doing, is trying to reach out to our elementaries and form those relationships early and catch those kids before they, you know, I think a lot of kids get to middle school and they already are like, I'm not good at that, or, oh, I can't do that, or, well, I haven't tried it yet, so I'm not going to try. And I taught middle school for quite a few years as well. And I just, those kids are so smart and so capable. But when they've already got that inside belief that they can't do something, it's hard to counteract that. And so I'm really excited that we're reaching the elementary school with our club. But one of the other things I'd really like to tell you about is how we were able to do a teacher training last spring. And this training not only involved getting teachers in the classroom to learn the VEX, it also provided them with VEX equipment that they could take back to their schools. And that came, you know, the opportunity to do that came again from our relationship with the Southern Oregon ESD and the funding from the governor for computer science. So all of that came, just, it came together, and we were able to have a workshop up at Oregon Tech, and I led that teacher training. However, I brought some of my students, and they actually took over because they're so great. And they kind of, you know, jumped in, and they worked with the teachers, and it was great. We were able to, we had 9 teachers. Most of them were from Klamath County, but we also had one that was from Medford, and we had 6 different schools represented. And those teachers took all of that information, and they took the equipment. And I had some Zoom check-in with them just a couple weeks later. And they had, every single teacher had either implemented in their classroom already or had their game plan and were about to. And so that's where we really start reaching all of those students, because, you know, one club at one school is outstanding. But when we can get, you know, okay, every fourth grader is going to see this robotics equipment and get to do some coding and get to do some building, I feel like that's when we really start to make a difference in our community and in the generation of kids coming up.
That's so awesome. We're a little bit north of you in like the Corvallis, Albany kind of area. And recently, not this school year, but last school year, there was a lot of BBOTS training with that idea of like the teachers are going to come learn and take a set of, I think like 5 or 6 BBOTS back to their students so they can kind of get that really like entry level coding down and get really comfortable with it. I'm familiar like with your program, but I hear you keep referring to the VEX and I assume that's like a robot. And I was wondering if you could tell me a little bit about like what the that piece of equipment is kind of about when it comes to learning.
Yeah, absolutely. So the VEX robotics equipment, so VEX is a company that provides robotic parts and kits, and they have developed a system that starts from basically your pre-K and goes all the way through university. So we have different robots. So we have a system called VEX 1-2-3, and that's the first one. And then we have VEX Go, and then there's VEX IQ. And then we get into the VEX V5, which is your high school, and also middle school overlaps. So you can do the VEX IQ or V5. So these are all different systems. So they have a different level of coding, style of coding, and level of what you build. So the first VEX 1-2-3 is a small robot about the size of a hockey puck, but it has the ability to decorate it and create different characters. Like we sometimes turn ours into Cookie Monster, and then the kids have to code to eat as many cookies on a competition, a robotics field as they can. What I think is great about the whole system is that it's not, even though VEX 1-2-3 is technically can start for pre-K, it is for everyone. It's really an entry level, like a step into coding. So I actually use all of those systems with my high schoolers as well. I just got done running a 2-week unit where the students used VEX 1-2-3 and VEX Go, and they learned to code with a tablet that is not a computer. It's a little, we call it a tablet, but it really, you just put little cards into it. So you're not having any screen time with that and you're off your computer. And then we have it where they connect their robot actually to their Chromebook, that our district is a 1-to-1 district. So they each have a Chromebook and they're coding it using block coding. So, and then that is kind of one of our first things that we do with the students who are in my first year engineering class. It's an intro to engineering and robotics 1 combined, and they get that first taste of what's going on. We also do virtual reality. So VEX offers virtual reality, so you can go online and they can code without getting any materials out at all for a day that maybe you don't have as much flexibility in your teaching schedule. So Those lead all the way up to our competition kits that are the V5. And VEX works with the REC Foundation. And those two organizations together are who put on all of the competitions and make the entire system kind of work. It's their collaboration that, like I said, brings it all together.
Awesome. That's really cool. So I kind of wanted to switch gears just a little bit, because we're talking about all these great things that we can help our students with to push them towards STEM and these really high paying jobs in their futures if they keep pursuing it. And I think that it's also important to talk specifically about girls in STEM, because we're seeing about 25% of STEAM positions being, you know, held by females and gender minorities. And I was wondering, since you have several students that are female that have been quite successful post high school graduation, what are some of your techniques to keeping that retention?
I would say the number one technique for me is forming a relationship with those students. I can't count how many female students told me, "I tried your class because I knew you and I believed that." So it was too unfamiliar to try a new class with a new person. And so for me, that was one of the things that helps me to draw students in. And so that's kind of hard for people to do, right? You're like, well, how do I know a student before they're even in my class? And that's where I think it's really up to us, you know, high school teachers, to get out into the community and to meet these students. I had a student that graduated from my program last year, And I had met him because he was doing a Lego, he was doing the Lego robotics through 4-H, and I was a 4-H judge. I have another student. She was also doing that Lego robotics, and that's, you know, how, why she jumped into my program when she got, was old enough to be middle school and high school. And so both of those students graduated from my program last year. They completed all 4 years. And so it was, but it was those community ties that really helped them to go, okay, one, I know that we have that program in our town and at that high school. And two, now I've put a face to that program and I feel like I can do this. And so that's one of the big things that I try to do is get out there into the community. And I think that, you know, we get so busy and it's hard to always do that. But this year we're going to get a chance to, our robotics club officers are going to be working with the Girl Scouts in April. And so we're going to go to one of their meetings and they're going to bring their robots and we're going to bring some of the VEX 123 and VEX Go so that they can have an opportunity to get hands-on and get experience. So not only are they going to get to see me, but more importantly, they're also going to get to see the students and they're going to get to talk to students who are in the program and they're going to get to see girls and boys and they're going to get to see, hey, I can do this. And this is something that's achievable for me. So that really for me has been a big factor. And I can tell you last school year, I had 43% of my seniors were girls. And I wish I could brag that it's like that every year. It's not like that every year, but that felt really good for me. And I was really excited that we were able to kind of overcome the normal percentage of females in engineering. And on top of that, a lot of those students went on to go to study engineering in college. And we have one of our grads from last year is at USC studying chemical engineering. And I have another gal, she is at UC Davis studying aerospace engineering. And, you know, I have students at Oregon Tech and Oregon State, but it was just great to see not only did they believe they could do it in high school, but they're like, I've got this. And they just, you know, some of them came back and visited me after their first semester and, you know, they're like, I did it. I'm getting through it, you know, and they have that mindset of perseverance. And I think that that is also something that we really need to help our students with is understanding that it's not about perfection. It's about persevering and sticking with it. And I think a lot of us, male and female, we get discouraged when we don't perform well. And sometimes we think, oh, I didn't perform well. Maybe that's not the right path for me. And in some cases that might be true, but in most cases it's just, nope, this is a class. Maybe it's a freshman class that, you know, we know is going to just to weed people out and we just need to persevere and fight through it and do our very best and move on to the next step. So I would say that's kind of the second thing that I work with my students is saying, it's okay to fail. That's part of engineering. That's part of life. And success doesn't come without failure. And when we can normalize failure in a sense that it's okay to have a mistake, it's okay to have something not work, that's not what defines us. What defines us is what we do after that. What is our next step? Do we get up? Do we try again? And do we keep going until we get to that end result that we were really looking for? And so those two things, I think, have really helped students to leave with the right mindset. And I think that that kind of, just to circle back to those students that were in that internship, I was told by that CEO, your students had the right mindset to be successful in this situation. And so that just helped me realize, like, yes, we are doing the right thing. We need to keep doing this so that we can help those students not only be employable, but be able to work through the challenges that come.
That is really interesting. It feels like from your description that there's like a holistic mindset. It's not just the education and the things you're going to learn in your textbooks. And it's not just the hands-on things, but it's also like the mental discipline and like the mental health and coming into play to create that fight against like the instant gratification. I didn't do it right the first time, so that means it's not good for me, but it is good for you. You just need to like sit in the discomfort and try again.
And I think that mindset for me, it comes from personal experience as well. When I was in grad school, I definitely had moments where I thought, is this what I should be doing? Am I on the right path? Is this right? And you take that step back and you think about it and you assess and you're like, yes, it is. And I'm going to keep grinding until I get there. And so I think because I've been through it, it helps me to be relatable. And I think as most of us adults, we have been through those things. And so just helping kids know that it's normal. You know, I'll ask kids sometimes, do you think that I graduated with a 4.0? And they'll be like, yeah, of course you did. And I'm like, no, I didn't, and sometimes they just have this image of, well, everybody's so perfect and I need to match up to that. And when we let them see that we're human and that we aren't perfect and that's okay, I think that also helps as well.
For sure. Yeah. I was also really interested to see in your pre-interview that you have, is it 4 degrees, 2 masters and a PhD? And a bachelor's degree, of course, because that's, you need that first. But I would love to hear about your journey and like what your experience was like doing that much schooling. Because I think sometimes, it's like that instant gratification thing. Students get a little freaked out when they're like, I'm going to have to spend a lot of time in school. But I would love to hear about your experience and see we're there for a good number of years.
Yeah. So I actually started at community college because I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. And so I spent time exploring and, I wasn't fortunate enough to have that, a CTE program or something like that. And even schools that do, I think I just want to put out there, I don't think that high school students need to know what they want to do before they graduate. And I think sometimes we put too much pressure on them to like, you must know. And it's okay to explore after if you haven't figured it out yet. And that's what I was doing. And so I had a wonderful chemistry teacher at Chemeketa Community College. He really inspired me and I loved chemistry instantly. And so I originally was going to be, I went to UC Berkeley for a year to study chemical engineering and realized that that wasn't a great fit for me because I really loved the research in the lab and the hands-on side of the chemistry. And I wasn't getting enough of that through the chem E. So I transferred to University of Oregon where I got my undergraduate in chemistry and just loved it. I did undergraduate research and I would say that would be one of my big things to encourage students to do if you're in one of the sciences is get involved with one of the labs and do research because getting hands-on, again, helps you see why am I putting in all this hard work? Oh, eventually I'm going to get to apply it to these really cool things. And then University of Oregon at the time had a really unique master's program that was designed to take science majors like physics and chem majors and teach them to think like engineers, as well as teach them about semiconductors. And so I started that program 4 days after I graduated my undergrad. And it was a summer intensive program where you literally learned everything that you needed to know to be able to work in that semiconductor industry, piled on to everything we'd learned from undergrad. And I was able to acquire an internship with Hynix Semiconductor, and that was a company in Eugene at the time. And so I went in right away, went into industry, and was getting to work right away. So even though I was in a degree, I was getting that work experience, that internship. And one of the things I love to share with my students to help them realize, like, just because you're new doesn't mean your responsibility is going to be small with a company. Within the first 2 weeks of working there, I was presenting to a room of 50 engineers, my boss, his boss, and the CEO of the company.
Oh, wow.
And yes. So I was like, okay. And the kids are like, no, that's not your first, you know, first couple weeks. I'm like, yes, that you're expected to have that skill set and be able to communicate with everyone and prepare a presentation and give that information. So that was a great experience working in industry. I really enjoyed it. But our family situation, we ended up moving out of Oregon. And that's when I decided I would, you know, jump into teaching at the collegiate level. And so I decided to go back to school and get a master's in education so that I could be effective in the classroom and know what I was doing. And that led me to teaching chemistry at the college level for a little bit. And then, you know, we moved again. My husband is military, if you didn't.
Oh, right on.
So lots of and that's when I decided. So for me, I also like to tell students, I know I was in school for a really long time, but it wasn't consecutively. And what I feel like I took so much from my educational experiences was because I, did my undergrad, got into the master's program, and then I worked in industry and I got that work experience. And from that, I was like, well, I still want to learn more about this and that, and I want more knowledge. And so that was what spawned me to go back to school again, is that I felt like I hadn't learned the depth of everything I wanted to know yet. And so when at that point we moved to New Orleans, and I ended up going to grad school at Tulane University and for chemistry. And again, I had been teaching college chemistry. I felt like I did a good job, but I was like, I want to know more. And so by getting that experience and getting the PhD from Tulane, it just really solidified. And I'm like, okay, now I have the knowledge. I have everything I feel like I need to do to be really effective in whatever position I move forward with. After that, I ended up teaching for the school district, you know, kind of fast forward a little bit. And the experiences I've had along the way, whether it be education or the actual job experience, has just given me lots of stories and things that I can share with the students to help them see a glimpse of what it's going to look like for them when they leave high school. And I get asked, the most common question I get asked by students is, why do you teach us? You could teach other, you know, college, you could do all these other things. Why do you teach us? And, you know, I tell them, I said, I know that I can make a difference with you guys so much more than I can somewhere else. And seeing you guys believe in yourselves and push to do things that maybe you didn't think that you could do, and now you believe in yourself, that's why I do it. And it's so rewarding to see them, you know, from freshmen grow to their senior year and see their accomplishments.
That's really awesome. I appreciate you laying out that continuous learning kind of mindset, continuous growth mindset of like, yeah, I can do this for a while, and then I'll work, and then I'll maybe go back to school or take some professional development. Because I don't think it's ever, you know, just straight through, and then you don't learn anything else for anybody, whether, you know, your path is school, you know, out in the skilled trades, or however you decide to, like, you know, go about your life. But I wanted to thank you for being on the show today and giving some insights. And I think that this is going to be really valuable to your colleagues around the state.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's been my pleasure.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Closing the Gap. If you like this show, subscribe on Spotify. You can also find us on Instagram at MVSTEMCTE, on Twitter at MidValleySTEM, and online at midvalleystem.org. Until next time, keep progressing.